KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. After spirited oral arguments Tuesday, the fate of California's Proposition 8 is now in the hands of the U.S. Supreme Court. The California Report's Scott Schaefer is in Washington covering the proceedings and says not all the action was in the courtroom.
As the Supreme Court took up California's ban on same-sex marriage, a very different kind of oral argument was happening on the streets nearby.
One woman, one man. One woman, one man.
Gay, straight, black, white, marriage is a civil right.
Frank Capley-Alfano of San Francisco and his husband Joe carried a huge California flag with rainbow stripes and their wedding photo album.
I think that the polls are clearly reflected in the crowd that is here today, overwhelmingly in support of marriage equality.
But inside the courtroom, several justices expressed plenty of doubts about same-sex marriage and whether Prop 8 violates the U.S. Constitution. Justice Samuel Alito was among those wondering if it's too soon to determine the impact of gay marriages.
You want us to step in and render a decision based on an assessment of the effects of this institution, which is newer than cell phones or the internet? I mean, we do not have the ability to see the future.
But as Prop 8 attorney Charles Cooper struggled to describe the harm gay marriage does to society, Justice Anthony Kennedy wondered about harm that might come from banning it.
There are some 40,000 children in California, according to the red brief, that live with same-sex parents. And they want their parents to have full recognition and full status. The voice of those children is important in this case, don't you think?
One of the most animated exchanges was between NOAA attorney Ted Olson and conservative Justice Antonin Scalia, who pressed Olson on his notion that marriage is a fundamental right for same-sex couples.
When did it become unconstitutional to exclude homosexual couples from marriage?
When
did the law become this?
I may answer this in the form of a rhetorical question. When did it become unconstitutional to prohibit interracial marriages?
As the morning went on, it became clear that it might be tough to find 5 votes for any of the many options facing the court. At one point, Justice Kennedy wondered why the court even took this case in the first place. One possible way out, deciding that the sponsors of Prop 8 lack legal standing to defend a ballot measure even when state officials won't. The lower court ruling striking down Prop 8 would then stand. Afterwards, outside the courthouse, NOAA attorney Ted Olson said the justices don't miss a chance to ask tough questions.
Questions may not even reveal how they're thinking, but they want to know the answers to those questions, so they put every advocate to the test, so to speak, and the American people will be able to see how this works.
Yes, on 8 attorney Austin Nimick says he hopes the justices will allow decisions on gay marriage to continue being made by state legislatures and voters, not judges.
That's why we think the court should not act with a heavy hand here. Uphold Proposition 8, and more importantly, uphold the right of good Americans on both sides of this debate to continue to have the debate.
A day that began with such excitement and a sense of history for supporters of gay marriage left some of them feeling a bit let down. Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom admitted being one of them.
I mean, I didn't come out as enthusiastic as I came in. That's the honest response. I want to spin it, but I can't.
And yet, as anyone who remembers last year's decision on Obamacare knows, the Supreme Court has a way of surprising us. Their decision will come by late June.
And Scott Schaefer joins us now from Washington to talk about today's Supreme Court hearing on the Defense of Marriage Act. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Penny.
First of all, how is the DOMA case different as a Supreme Court matter from the challenge to California's Prop 8?
Well, DOMA, of course, is a federal law passed by Congress in 1996, signed by President Bill Clinton. This is not about whether there's a fundamental right to marriage, but whether it's constitutional for the federal government to not recognize those marriages conducted in states where marriage is legal. And so that's really the issue. If DOMA is struck down, it doesn't mean anybody will be able to get married who can't already get married. This is about federal benefits and federal recognition of same-sex marriages that are conducted legally in states where that's allowed.
Much of the talk following yesterday's argument centered on whether the high court would offer any kind of decision ultimately. Are there similar concerns about the outcome of the DOMA case?
There are, because there's a significant question, again, of legal standing. This is unusual in that the lower court, like with Prop 8, the lower courts here struck down DOMA. And the federal government appealed, the Obama administration appealed, even though they agreed with the decision striking it down. And so they're not defending DOMA. An advisory committee of the House, mostly Republicans, hired a law firm to defend DOMA. And there's a question, a legal question, about whether or not that's allowed, whether or not they have legal standing to defend DOMA in lieu of the federal government, which is declining to defend it. And so the very first hour, the entire first hour of today's hour and 50 minutes will be devoted to that question of legal standing. And so it's entirely possible that they'll never get to the merits of this case and merely allow the lower court ruling to stand, striking down DOMA.
Did anything that you heard in yesterday's argument shed light on how the justices are looking at the matter of putting limits on who can get married and what benefits same-sex partners are entitled to? Did anybody tip their hand?
This is a different question because this has more to do in some ways with states' rights and whether the federal government overreached by telling states which marriages they're going to acknowledge and which ones they're not. But Anthony Kennedy, who's always very closely watched, said something interesting yesterday in the Prop 8 discussion. He brought up the question of the 40,000 or so children who are being raised by same-sex couples in California and the fact, he has concern for them and their welfare. And this case, DOMA, is also about federal benefits, Social Security benefits, survivorship benefits, tax benefits, and so on that come from being married. And so you have to think that if someone like a Justice Kennedy is concerned about the welfare of children with regards to Prop 8, he might also feel that way about DOMA. So it's quite possible we're going to see a slightly different alignment of justices in this case, but there'll certainly be a fair amount of overlap.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Scott.
Thank you, Penny.
That's the California Report. Scott Schaefer reporting from Washington. Meanwhile, Sacramento now has a better shot at convincing the NBA to keep their team, the Kings, from moving to Seattle and taking on the Supersonics name. On Tuesday, the Sacramento City Council approved a deal to build a downtown arena and is chipping in $258 million to make it happen. The rest of the money will come from an investment group. That's the California Report for Wednesday, March 27th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallis Family Fund for coverage of climate change, and Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.